Samantha. Hi, everybody. We've restarted the recording. Hopefully you can hear me now. Awesome. Hi, Tracy. How are you going? Who else is on tonight? Janine, hi. Just replied to your email. Janine, hi, Shamila. Thanks for sending your photo through today. That was awesome. All righty. Damien's going to be coming on any moment. He's restarting his computer, so no doubt he'll let us know. So I presume tonight you have quite a few food-related questions because you're going to have Damien for the whole call. But if you've got anything you'd like to ask me, fire away now. Otherwise, I'll keep talking, and he'll be on shortly. Hi, Annie from Auckland. Quite a few Auckland people actually tonight. Hi, Sarah. How are you going? I'd love to see your the pictures of you and your son doing the event together. That was pretty awesome. But hopefully all of you are now members of the 112 Facebook page and you can actually get to see what other people are doing and share information yourself. So, Damien, are you on? Okay, I'm just going to begin until he gets on. Because I know tonight most of you have got food-related questions. So I just wanted to talk about whatever it takes. You know, as the weather gets cooler, it gets a little bit harder for some people in terms of motivating themselves to get out. This morning I had a personal trainer booked for 6 a.m. I really want to do two good, decent, you know, full-on weight sessions a week. And I know that when you first begin back in any type of exercise, it's hard to motivate yourself. And as most of you know, I've been swimming through summer, and now I want to get back into doing some weights. Hi, Damien, is that you?
It is, Phyllis.
Yep. Yay. Hey, Tracy, you said you're still not sure how to use the fat loss chart. Why don't you call in tomorrow and Hayley or I could talk to you through it. Any of you are welcome to call in on a Tuesday. Hayley and I always make ourselves available on a Tuesday to chat to anybody. So if you feel like you need to ask a question directly, call into the office on a Tuesday. How are you, Damien? Feels like forever.
Oh, I know. I can't remember the last time you and I were on a call together.
Ages.
It's like a homecoming. It's like a reunion.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. All righty. Let's see what questions.
I know you said family reunion, but then that would mean that you'd be in my family, and that wouldn't be good.
Hi, Sharon. We're going to ignore him. All righty. So, anyone got any questions for Damien? Because I know it's been a couple of weeks. What have you got to share, Damien? What's been happening?
Well, there's been some interesting stuff happening in the world of nutrition. I don't know whether or not anybody's been following what we've been doing with the wellness guys, but thanks to Karen Lloyd, it wasn't Karen Lloyd, it was actually Abby Hooper, because Karen often sends me information from the newspapers, things that are going down in New Zealand in the world of nutrition and health and stuff. But Abby Hooper let me know of that story that went to air about good carbohydrates on I think it looked like it was TVNZ. And they had her name was Claire something. She was a nutritionist or dietitian. Claire Turnbull, Claire Turnbull.
Yeah.
Well, we went to town on her, went to absolute town on her, because that was a load of rubbish. You know, the interview she gave was crap. The information that she spread was absolutely rubbish. It was very, very confusing for a lot of people, and for a nutritionist or a dietitian with reasonably good profile and certainly a growing profile to be talking about the benefits of eating white sugar, table sugar. It's appalling. But, you know, even beyond that, to say that, you know, the presenter was great because she was saying, you know, carbohydrates like what you find in carrots and other vegetables. She goes, yes, yes. And, of course, you know, your grains and your starches and, you know, your cereals and your breads and your pastas. So she went, you know, from one breath saying about the wholesome goodness of whole grains to then going on and talking about the processed grains, which is what she was talking about, and the processed carbohydrates. And it was just such bad information. Well, from that, it's just exploded, and there's been unbelievable amounts of commentary from our, you know, blasting of her. And then also the dietitians here in Australia have started to go a bit mental as well, and they're starting to jump up and down about, you know, processed grains and blah, 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 how they're so essential and they're needed, and if you don't eat them, you're in all sorts of trouble. And it's crazy.
Crazy. Because, you know, what did people do before, you know, before bread? It was, you know, must have been terrible for them.
Well, it's funny because she says that you should stay away from these low-carb fad diets. And Brett raised a really interesting point. He said, you know, well, that fad's been going for about 2 million years. So it's, you know, we've only been eating breads and carbs and all that sort of stuff really for probably, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 years, not, you know, millions of years in terms of evolutionary cycle. So it's it is interesting. It has stirred up a lot of debate, and I reckon there'll be quite a few people on the call tonight wondering why they can't have starchy carbohydrates, or why I've restricted them, why I've said that the only grains you can have or the only high-fiber cereal that you can eat is the one that's in your recipe book, unless you can get your hands on forage. But, you know, there's probably some people that are actually on the call tonight wondering, why can't I have those sorts of foods? So if you're one of those people, ask the questions. Let's get into it, and let's talk about the reasons why maybe there are a limitation of starch and the limitation of grain-based carbohydrate in your diet is actually so beneficial for you. Why don't we could talk about that if that's what you like. So why don't we find out from you guys, the listeners, whether or not that's something you'd like to talk about. But so that's been going on. There's been interesting things come about in terms of legislation here in Australia that will prohibit chiropractors from actually putting on health seminars. So that's interesting.
Oh, my goodness.
They reckon that we're going to kill people over here. It's diabolical. So there are some changes. I finished practicing naturopathy full-time or forever. I won't be practicing naturopathy again in 2 weeks' time, so that's big news. The only way people get access to me is through the 112-day challenge and through me being a chiropractor. So that's exciting.
Wow.
I don't think I told you that, had I, Phyllis?
Yes, well, I've got it second hand, you know, how it is with family. Just got to find out through other members.
There's no sound at all. Would that be right? There's no sound?
No, I just asked Hayley if the call was fine. And you heard me on Skyping her. She said, no, it's perfect. So it'll be Sharon's computer.
Turn your volume
Everyone
up.
Everyone else can hear.
Oh, she can't hear me. She won't be able to hear me telling her to turn the volume up. Oops.
No, she won't. So, Jamie and I want to talk about the grain stuff. I've got some questions.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you do, because no one else does. So that's good.
I know.
Ask away.
So, you know, when people say to me, why not pasta? And, you know, because I don't have the depth of the whole chemistry, you know, what goes on with that within our bodies to be able to, you know, tell them back that you do. One of the things I say to people is, well, would you get flour and water and mix it up and eat it? Because it's basically what you're having.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's funny, isn't it? Because that's, you know, same for bread. How do you make bread? Flour and water. How do you make pasta? Flour and water. You know, what else? How do you make glue? Flour and water. And so, you know, it's interesting that we eat this flour and water stuff, this muck, and people get so hung up on its sensation or its taste or whatever it is, and it doesn't provide us any real nutrition. So it's what we call empty calories. You take this stuff into your body, and it doesn't really do much for you. You get a lot of carbohydrate from it, very, very little protein, because most of the protein from wheat is stripped and then removed and put into other products. Or discarded. But, you know, there's actually cereal companies out there now that are making their grainy cereals higher in protein by using the wheat proteins that are found in there. And the wheat protein, of course, is gluten, which many people are familiar with. And, you know, when you eat a cereal product that's got wheat in it that has more gluten in it or has more protein, then you know it has to contain more gluten. So it's more likely you're going to bloat from it. But when you get a big dump of starch or a big dump of carbohydrate into your body, one of the things that happens is a hormonal response. The hormonal response is a hormonal response that's initiated by the pancreas, because really when you get starch going into your body has to break it down to be able to utilize it, and it breaks it down to be its smallest component. And the smallest component that it gets it down to is glucose. And when you get a big dump of glucose into your bloodstream, the net result is that you have to clear it out of there, and the way in which you clear it out is by secreting insulin. And insulin, when it goes through the body, is supposed to be short-acting. It's supposed to be very, very rapid. It should just grab the sugar, take it into the muscle cells. Your muscle cells should be able to burn it off, and then it should all just be, you know, as good as gold, all done, finished, don't worry about it anymore, all, you know, signed, sealed, delivered. But often what happens when you've been eating carbohydrate or too much sugar over a long period of time is that you get insulin resistant. Your body actually doesn't have the ability to clear out all, and so your body then goes on to store it, and it stores it by making glycogen, and it stores it in the liver and in between the muscle cells. And this all happens without you knowing, so you don't have to concentrate on it. It's just something that your body does innately, intelligently. You try and keep the sugar away from your brain, because too much sugar, too much carbohydrate, is tough for your brain. And so you will store it away. So if you put on weight just from eating a pasta meal, or if you put on weight from having a sandwich, it indicates to you, and you should take this on board, that you are insulin resistant and you actually can't tolerate eating these sorts of foods. You don't have to be diagnosed as insulin resistant. All you've got to do is put on some weight from eating these foods. You put on weight from eating these foods, your body's not in great shape, and you've just got to give yourself a break from it. Give yourself beneficial carbohydrates that are packed full of nutrients. So the ones that are less processed, vegetables, fruits, salads, they're the best sorts of carbohydrates. And then get the fat off, get your muscles healthy again, get your cells healthy again, and then reintroduce those grains later on if you really need to, and see how your body responds. And some people put on 500 grams overnight from eating a sandwich, and essentially most of that's fluid, and that tells you that your body's had an inflammatory response to the grains that you've just eaten. And that inflammatory response is an indication that you're allergic to that particular food. Even though you might not sneeze, or you might not get a rash, or you might not get a tummy ache or anything like that, if you've just put on somewhere between 200 and 500 grams after eating that food, you're allergic to it. You should stay away from it. And that's your body telling you that there's something wrong. So you've got to service your body and help it out.
And so part of that response also after you've eaten it, say at lunchtime, is that you get that sleepy, head noddy, falling asleep kind of feeling, really tired and lethargic in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an adrenal fatigue thing. Yeah, that adrenal fatigue thing can kick in when you've had too much carbohydrate too, because you start to rely on other hormones within the body. So the hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, can kick in. And many people start the day with caffeine, or they start the day with a big shot of stress. You know, it could be that they wake up to an alarm clock that frightens them or startles them, takes them out of their REM sleep. And, a lot of people actually don't think, when we talk about that, a lot of people don't think about the cycles of their sleep. You sleep in 45-minute cycles. So, in order to wake up at an appropriate time, you should work backwards. So if you know you need to wake up by 7 o'clock in the morning or by 6 o'clock in the morning, work back in 45-minute blocks to work out where you should be sleeping. Or where you should be going to sleep. So if you need your 7 hour sleep or your 7.5 hour sleep, work back to work out how many 45-minute lots you need to actually allocate, and then that's when you should go to sleep, if you've got to be up by 6. Now, if it works out that you're going to wake up a little bit before 6, then do that. If you're going to wake up a little bit after 6, then do that. But try not to set yourself an alarm that's going to wake up mid-REM cycle, because you're going to find yourself in a world of pain, you're going to be tired all day, you're going to need adrenal hits, and you're going to want to have caffeine and sugar to try and stimulate your body to get you going, and that's less than ideal. So if you're craving those sorts of things in the afternoon, you've probably got a bit of stress, you're not sleeping really well, you're not regenerating, and the whole stress thing, which I'm talking about now, I'll be talking about at the Women's Conference, the Women's Lifestyle Expos coming up. Actually, no, it's the Women's Conference, isn't it, Phyllis? And it's the day with Damien. I'll be talking about this sort of thing in a lot more detail down in Wellington. So it'd be good to have you all there.
Melissa Raisley's pretty interesting. Sorry?
You go. I was just going to say that Melissa raises a good point.
Yeah, you go. You can read it.
Okay. Melissa says, I listened to your Wellness Guys podcast and you said that you ate millet. Yep, I do. Why don't you recommend these during the 112-day challenge? Well, if you look at your cereal mix, you'll find that there's cereals that are in there, different grains that are in there that are particularly beneficial for your body type. If you were to eat forage, then you'd be getting puffed millet. So, you would actually be getting access to some puffed buckwheat, puffed millet, puffed rice, puffed quinoa. And these are ingredients that you'll actually find in the in your recipes for your high fiber cereal in your recipe book. So check it out. You will actually see it there, Melissa. It's in the high fiber cereal part. Sarah's got a question about, I have a bit of indigestion creeping back. What causes it? What am I doing wrong? As far as I'm aware, my diet hasn't changed. Sarah C, if you've got body type 1, you need to cycle your food around a lot. You need a lot of variety, a lot of flexibility in your food. But if you haven't got body type 1 and you're getting indigestion, it could be that you're stressed. It could be that you don't have enough hydrochloric acid in your gut, so maybe you need to supplement with some hydrochloric acid. it's possible that you're getting a bit of pain mid-back, and that pain mid-back could be subluxation. So you might need to go see your chiropractor and get an adjustment, because that could actually help out quite significantly. Got anything to say on that, Bricky?
Well, actually, I'm going to go a little bit side track. You know, talking about the adjustments, I watched, I don't know if people know, well, most people won't know about this guy called Raymond Aron, but at 62 years old, he crossed the, you know, did the polar race, and it's 30 days, it's a month in, you know, unbelievable freezing conditions. And two of the things that he, three things that he credited his survival and his ability to do it was chiropractic, seeing one regularly, his fitness, and his nutrition. So, interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. A lot of people discount the value of chiropractic, and a lot of people don't understand, you know, that chiropractic's not about getting rid of pains and curing, you know, low back pain or neck pain or headaches or some of that. What chiropractic's all about is about stimulation of the nervous system and making sure that your nerves are working appropriately to the organs that are supplied by nerves, which is every single organ in the body, except for the brain, because the brain actually is the nervous system. So it's, you know, a lot of people come in and get adjusted on a weekly basis just to make sure that their spine's working really, really well, so that their organs function beautifully. And there's a guy who's 90 years old who came in today for his adjustment. And Ken, who's a ripper bloke, he comes in once or twice a week just to get an adjustment so that he can bowl better. It's not because he's in pain. It's just that he wants to bowl better. So he won the club championships. He's the sixth time in a row club championship of his local bowls club. He's done that, you know, 6 years in a row. He's been the president. And, you know, he just keeps well. He was telling me his wife passed away a year or so ago, and he was telling me the other day and telling a whole group of us how, you know, he and his new girlfriend, you know, go and hang out and they go watch movies. He's 90. He's got a bucket load of life left in him, and he credits it because his nervous system works really well. He doesn't do anything too dissimilar to what everybody else does. He takes a bit of calcium, takes some vitamin D, takes his fish oil and his multivitamin, you know, and he just functions really well.
But you know what, Damien, though? You just said he doesn't do a lot else different from other people, but in actual fact, he probably actually does, because a lot of people don't take supplementation. There are probably a number of people listening to this call that would have got their analysis and have just bypassed or not ignored, but thought, oh, you know, I won't worry about that. And, you know, so, you know, what he's doing is probably a little bit ahead of a lot of people. And I think there's a cross-training effect on us. When we look after ourselves in one area, we actually start to become aware of another area. So if we're, you know, if we're conscious of what our nutrition is, then we're more likely to be conscious of our physical, you know, movement and what we do. You know, one thing affects another. If you talk about that person going back to, you know, coffee and adrenaline and all of that, most likely they're doing lots and lots of things that are just making them feel terrible, but they get used to feeling that way. They think it's normal and accept it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. People do feel, people feel crap most of the time. And you ask them how they're feeling. How are you going? They go, yeah, pretty good, thanks. Or not too bad. And you know, most people do that as a reflex. They don't actually tell you the truth. Most people don't tell you the truth of how they're feeling. You know, probably because you don't really want to hear the truth.
But sometimes they don't know the truth because they've gotten used to feeling the way that they feel. An example of how I see this regularly, that I know that it's true, if we take just the 21 Days to Change program, the amount of emails we get from people who over a three-week period cannot believe how great they feel, alert, awake, and it's because the program deals with their sugar cravings probably first and foremost, and they're eating live real food for every single meal, and some people have probably been eating dead food for every single meal. So for some people it's been quite profound, and again with the 112-day challenge, you know, there are lots of people who feel like their lives have massively changed through the program. So what we take for granted is not always what everybody, you know, knows.
That's a great point. That's such a good point. And, you know, it's interesting when people do a detox, they feel so amazing, and they think that, you know, they should eat that particular way all the time when they're doing a detox, and you actually don't. But the reason why you feel so good is because you used to feel so bad. But when you start to eat really, you know, really, really well, and you're not in that detox mode, you can feel that fantastic all the time. which is, you know, the sort of food that we're asking you to eat on a 112-day challenge. You know, whilst we call it 112 days, we actually hope that this next 4 months actually sets up the whole of your life, so you're actually going to eat this way all the time. Tracy says, I had a question relating to carbohydrates, particularly fruit. I used to eat a lot of fruit, so I cut back on it to have only 2 bits a day, but I'm curious whether it's true that I should avoid it later in the evening. Look, Tracy, I reckon there's a bit of a fallacy. I don't think it's true that you should avoid it later in the evening. I think if you're only eating the fruits that are in your list, then you're pretty safe to have them at any stage. But, you know, you've got to ask yourself, why are you eating later in the evening? Is that after your dinner? There's possibly not a lot of need to do that. But if you're still stuck in the whole I need to eat dessert mentality, then you should have maybe some berries or just a little bit of fruit with some yogurt, you know, after, or even some fruit and some nuts. You know, don't even have to have the yogurt. Just do that only, say, 10 minutes after your main meal and or your evening meal, and that's all you need to eat. There's no need to go and eat anything else. You don't need to go to bed with a full stomach. In fact, you're better off not going to bed with any food in your tummy at all. Letting your body just relax, letting your body not digest while you're sleeping, and letting your body repair while you're sleeping, which is the whole idea of sleeping, is repairing.
Right.
Shumila says, would like to know why pasta and potato are not good for you. Shumila, I just answered that whole question just before about pasta and potato initiating an insulin response or a carbohydrate response in the body that's significant and causes fat storage. So for many people, pasta, it's just a staple, but and so is potato, but it's not that good for you. So you don't want to build a diet that's based on that. You actually might have those sorts of foods as part of your diet, but not yet, not until you've got your fat off and your fat's gone. Then bring that stuff into it, and then it'll be all right. But right now, just avoid it because it's not going to help you out. And you need to find out why in more detail. Listen to the first 10 minutes of this call because that's what we spoke about. Tracy says, I noticed bananas are not on the beneficial foods list. I'm curious why this is, because I always thought it was good fruit for exercise because everyone seems to eat them on long cycle rides. Look, they do contain a lot of fuel, bananas. They contain quite a lot of carbohydrate, right about 23 grams of carbohydrate per 100 grams, so 23% sugar, 23% carbohydrate. It's a fair bit. And you probably don't need to have that much. And the other thing is too, Tracy, that if you're doing cycling, if you're actually out there riding, then you're going to burn through the fuel that you've already stored. So don't worry about taking extra fuel on your body, on your bike, because you've already got the fuel stored. So you've just got to access that. In terms of being hungry, that's fine. Just stay hydrated. That's the main thing. Then you burn through your fuel. But if you feel like you need to eat while you're exercising, you're going to defeat the purpose. And just because you're sitting down while you're exercising doesn't mean that it gives you opportunity to eat. It's actually still pushing your body hard. And when you do exercise, blood's being diverted away from the gastrointestinal system for a reason, because you're burning fuel, not because you need to digest your fuel. So it's a crazy thing to do unless you're doing super long distances. Like I'm talking 80, 90-kilometre rides. You don't need to be eating while you're on the bike. You just don't need to.
Alrighty, Sarah's asking, she said she's had a bit of indigestion creeping back. What causes it? What am I doing wrong? As far as I'm aware, my diet hasn't changed.
Yeah, I answered that question before. Thanks, Briggsy. Thanks for your contribution.
Melissa. Is that where the hydrochloric acid came in?
You must be doing the ironing. Maybe you're out there doing the ironing or something. I don't know. Melissa says, I lost 3 kilos my first week. Gosh, that was exciting. Could it be likely that most of that was the fluid attached to the carbs that you referred to? No, absolutely not. That was what that ridiculous dietitian nutritionist said on the TV, that you lose fluid attached to carbohydrates. It's not true. That's absolute rubbish. It's bollocks. If there's another word that I can use, maybe one that starts with bull and the other one that ends in T, that's how I would actually describe that comment in terms of what that nutritionist said. We don't store fluid with carbohydrates. It's just not true. We don't do that. There might be some fluid retention as a response to allergy. That'll be 200 to 500 grams, and that's it. But, you know, that shouldn't alter the scales too much, you know, over the space of a week. You know, you'll lose that, but it's not a whole lot. The nutritionist on the television actually said that, you know, the first 3 kilos are mainly fluid. Well, it's not true. And it's actually fat. You've actually done a great job, Melissa. You've lost fat. You've burned a lot of fuel. It's extra calories that you had stored in your body that's now not in your body anymore. It's somewhere else in the planet. And you should be really proud of yourself because that's a great result. Well done.
Mm. Great. Did you see Tracy's just clarifying it's a 100K cycle event that she's doing in relating to the question relating to bananas?
Okay, cool. Well, if it's 100K cycling events, if you're training for them, then I'd take other fruits. So take pears or apples or grapes or something like that. Don't take bananas because it's not going to work for you.
Okay. Sharon, glad that you're back out of hospital, and don't worry ever about being late because you can always go back and listen to the beginning of the call. So great that you're here.
Mm, absolutely. Janine says, some advice, please, around the brands of yogurt to buy, as seemingly very few full cream ones in the supermarket. Yeah, there is now in New Zealand. New Zealand's really cut back on fat. It's really strange. Like, there's not a whole lot of full fat yogurts. So the one that I used to use was Cyclops. That's the one that I used to recommend. And I probably suppose do recommend Cyclops still because I'm not aware of what else is actually in New Zealand. You know, but if you're in Australia... Where's Janine based? Is she in Australia or in New Zealand?
New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah. So you're looking at Cyclops then. That's probably the best way. Do you know of any other ones?
Well, what was your feelings about Puhoi?
Well, see, Puhoi's got a whole lot of numbers and stuff in it. So I'm not a really big fan of Puhoi anymore. It used to be good, but it's not as flash as what it used to be. They've let themselves down a little bit with numbers and stuff.
Okay, I might go do some looking next week when I'm, you know, Monday or Tuesday and have a look what else is on the shelf. Seriously,
well,
what happens when you plateau and what do you need to do to push through it? I've stayed the same for weeks now. Essentially, I haven't changed my eating. I've amped up the cardio exercise ideas.
Why don't you do the detox? If you've been like that for a few weeks, then break your cycle. Do your detox, Sarah. The 112 day challenge liver cleansing program, or the detox that we have. It's on the website. So when you go to the 112 day challenge, log in, go to any of the tabs at the top, click on one of them, except for the home tab, and you'll see under members information, I think it is, there's something that says 112 day challenge detox. Do the detox for a couple of weeks, and that'll break the cycle for you, Sarah. And that'll get it cranking. But you don't have to do extra exercise. In fact, doing extra exercise can stop you from burning more fat. So you've just got to be really careful not to stimulate too much inflammation. There's somebody who's been doing this challenge, you know, for quite a number of years now, who actually stopped burning fat because she was exercising too much. And now that she's exercising less, she's now burning more fuel, burning more fat. She's being more efficient.
And she looks great. Melissa says she finds Easy-O Natural Make-It-Yourself Yogurt pretty good.
Mm. Yeah, you can do that. Just what I do like to do with the Easy-O yogurt is to add a probiotic. So I recommend that people get the Ultra Flora dairy free, and put the Ultra Flora dairy free or Ultra Flora Restore dairy free. Put that into the Easy-O mix, so you get a proper culture. So you're getting the real bugs growing in there rather than just the dud bugs that they often put in there. The other thing is Sarah said here, hydrochloric acid sounds like a school science lab. What's that all about and where to get it? It's normally manufactured by your stomach. So if you've got enough acid in your gut, then you don't need to supplement with it. But many people don't manufacture enough hydrochloric acid, so they don't function really well in their gut. So you can actually take a supplement of hydrochloric acid and you get it from Metagenics. It's called Metagest, Metagest. Don't drink hydrochloric acid, that'll burn your tongue off, but you can take it as a tablet. It's good. It's good to do. It's actually really good. Biofarm, Sarah says, is a good yogurt. So, yeah, I think you're right, actually. That's the liquid one. That's a good one. Annie says, forgetting about your comments about potatoes being less than an ideal food, do you have any idea of the charisma potatoes are likely to be available, or if the charisma potatoes are likely to be available in New Zealand? I don't know. Charisma. I don't know.
I didn't even know what they are.
There's a potato here in Australia that's what they call low starch. It's a low starch potato. and it's called a heritage, I think it's called a heritage potato, something like that. And maybe charisma is part of that potato, but I don't know. That's that question. You got me, but if you find out, love to know. How does the exercise burn less fat? I did wonder that, says Sarah. It's not that the exercise burns less fat. It's that doing more exercise causes may cause inflammation. And as a result of having extra inflammation in the body, and then the resultant cortisol dump that you get as a result of that inflammation, cortisol is a hormone from the adrenal glands, which shuts down the body's ability to utilize insulin. As a result of that inflammation and the cortisol, you won't burn fat. You just shut down that ability. So, you know, try not to exercise too much. Yeah, Annie's saying it's a low GI potato. Just be careful with potatoes because GI doesn't apply to what we're doing in this program. We're doing GL. So in the 112-day challenge, we do low GL, which is low sugar in total, as opposed to low glycemic index, which is still high sugar, just slow release. And we don't do low GI because low GI is redundant. It's outdated. It just doesn't work. So we don't do low GI. It's again, one of those things that have been left in the 80s. So there you go.
What about just one last thing, Damien? I saw a bread in the supermarket the other day that said low gluten.
Well, again, that's just another opportunity for someone to jump on the bandwagon and say, hey, it's still got gluten in it, but it's just low gluten. You know, hopefully appealing to those people that aren't necessarily gluten-free but would like to reduce their gluten load. It's probably still not an ideal bread. It'd be using highly processed grains. You know, just be careful with that one. I wouldn't race down to the shops to go and buy it.
Cool. All righty, well, we're at the end of the call. It's just after 9. Anyone got any last questions before we sign off? I have to say, Damien, I was pretty impressed with the Easter weekend, you know, the weight sent in the following week, because traditionally Easter has been one of those times where, you know, the chocolate just seems to have called people's names. And we had some fantastic weight losses, like, across the board with everybody, so it was awesome. And, you know, a week on, it looks like nobody's rushed out and bought the half-price Easter eggs because it's still continuing, so it's great.
That's nice. Yeah, good job. Well done, everybody. That's good. Good news.
Yes.
Well, great. Thanks for being on the call tonight, and it was good to share the time with you, Briggsy. We should do this more often, I look forward to being on the call with you all next week, and have a great week. Be good, and make sure that you're making the best decision that you can every single day.
Sounds great. See ya.